for our reading this afternoon. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4, and begin with verse number 21. Mark 4, 21. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he hath said, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." I wish to conclude there with the 34th verse. Throughout the scriptures, we read that a phrase that says, hear the word of the Lord. It's mostly contained in the Old Testament, specifically that phrase, hear the word of the Lord. And that message was given not only to prophets as they were even speaking to the children of Israel, but actually it was also a phrase that was given to wicked people. There's a verse that says, Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom and of Gomorrah. And so the message of the word of the Lord comes to both those who believe in Jesus Christ and those who don't. And it's so often that we come together and in our homes as we open the Word of God, we have the opportunity to hear the Word of the Lord. And it is something that we hold very valuable in our lives, knowing that this is the only source of truth, knowing that this is the inspired, infallible Word of God, that it fails not, is life-giving, is life. And so we hold it precious to us. And so we want to hear the word of the Lord. We want to. We know that the word is powerful. We know that it is strong. In John's Gospel, the first verse beautifully states that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This is what we hold to be dear and near to our hearts, the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And we read it this morning of being partakers of the spiritual meat and the spiritual manna and the spiritual drink. And this afternoon we sang, opening this service, with Do Thou This Day Provide Us With Daily Bread by Thy Dear Word. We want to be partakers of God's word. We want to know what it says, knowing that it is the single source of truth and it is life-giving. There are many teachers in this world, Libraries, bookstores, they're full of books that would teach on many topics. Podcasts that you can listen to on all various subjects. But it's ultimately knowing that Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher that ever was. That ever was. And he brought forth God's word and he taught it to us. That was Jesus' objective, to bring the word of the Father to us, to all mankind. He was a light to lighten the Gentiles. And he brought forth this word to us. So this afternoon, we read of four parables that Jesus taught. Again, this is the word of God that we want to hear, and it is taught by the greatest teacher. So four parables we read here this afternoon. And each of these parables, it says in black letters, and he said unto them. He said unto them. This is what Jesus, the greatest teacher, has taught. And so let's look at this word this afternoon with that hunger and that thirst that the word of God, the almighty word of God, would mold us and would make us to be one of his. So in this first parable that we read together, it says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not be set on a candlestick? Again, this was referenced this morning as well, that we certainly wouldn't bring a source of light and then cover up that light. But we would allow that light to shine forth. And Jesus here is speaking this parable, and he says, "And for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." And then he says these important words, that if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And he's teaching them, a light isn't brought to be snuffed out. A light isn't brought to be cut off. But a light is brought so that it might shine forth. That it might shine forth, that all might be able to see. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He was that light that came into this world, a light to lighten the Gentiles, not just the Jewish people of that time, but a light to lighten the Gentiles. And that we might be illuminated, and that we might know the light of Jesus Christ, and that we might follow in his ways, and that his light might be manifested in us. When Jesus came, the light that he shone on the darkness of the Pharisees and of the scribes. It showed forth that God was a light, and that he sent forth that light in the form of his Son Jesus Christ. And when Jesus says that the disciple is not above his master, if they've called the master Beelzebub or the devil, how much more will he call them of his household? And Jesus says, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be made known. When Jesus the light made, he made known the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He made that known unto all. And that light was shining forth. That light was shining forth. And people were seeing that light. And they marveled at that light. Think of the man that was born blind. And he's having a dialogue with the rulers of the synagogues, the Pharisees. And they were deriding him. And the blind man comes. Light is revealed to him. Light is revealed to him, and he says, why, herein is a marvelous thing. He opened my eyes, but you don't even know where he's from. The blind man realized that Jesus was certainly the light of this world. He was truly the Son of God. But those of the religious leaders of that time didn't recognize it. They didn't recognize it. And Jesus said, beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And then again he says, for there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. There is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. Jesus is the light of the world. The epistle, there's a verse in the epistles that says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is what God did. He revealed his Son to the earth that we might all be given light, that we might know what? The glory of God. The glory of God. That light might shine into our hearts, so we might know the glory of God through the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to bring light. And it expels darkness, and it exposes sin. And then we are called by his grace to be that city that is on a hill, to be the light unto this world, to allow the light of Jesus Christ, as God gave that light to all mankind, a light to lighten the Gentiles, to give light that we might have the knowledge of the glory of God in that face of Jesus Christ, that we might then take that knowledge and be forth that light. Again, the question has to be posed, as I believe it was this morning, in so many words, that if we're not that light unto this world, who do we expect the light to be? Who are we going to delegate to be the light unto the world if we're not going to be the light of the world? We know the word of God. We hear that message. Hear the word of the Lord. And we see the parables, and we see the truth coming from the word of God. We are therefore, as the followers of Jesus Christ walking in his light, ought to exemplify his light and be that city on a hill and bring forth fruit that glorifies him. That glorifies him. That is our objective in this life, that we might glorify him and bring forth that light, and that our light might be set on a candlestick. And in this imagery of him saying that all these things shall be made manifest, there's nothing hid. It's all going to be made known because of this light that comes. And then he says, as you see this light, now hear with your ears. Hear with your ears. Be a follower of that light, the light of Jesus Christ. He speaks another parable, and he says unto them, "Take heed what ye hear." Again, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." So we are to take heed what we hear, and with what measure we meet, it shall be measured to us again. So let's speak a little bit about it, it being measured unto us as we measure, and then how it would apply here to what we hear. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, said that we are not to judge so that we are not judged. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet," again using these same words, "it shall be measured to you again." So if we're judgmental, if we're critical, if we condemn, that's what's going to come to us. If we measure that out, if we meet that out, if we allocate that out, that's what will be brought to us in return. That will be what we are judged by. And so we are to take heed to our ways that we don't. Then Jesus, in the same teaching, in the same principle, but on the good, he says, give, and it shall be given unto you. In good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So we are to be the light of this world, and we are to give. We are not to be just simply takers. I'll take this, I'll take that, I'll receive. No, but the Lord wants us to be givers. Givers. And when we give, the Lord will give unto us likewise in return. And if, again, we're meeting out, if we're very careful on how much we allocate out, like we're being very careful saying we're going to give only this much, well, that's how much God will give unto us in return. But if we've been recipients of his grace, if we've been recipients of his forgiveness, if we've been recipients of his mercy, then it is in our heart's desire then likewise that in that rich, full measure that he has given unto us, that we likewise don't condemn, we don't judge, we don't criticize, but we forgive, and we show mercy, and we help, and we support, and we give as the Lord has been so gracious unto us. So he says here, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. But then the same is true with in the vein of what we hear. How much do we hear? What's the measurement of that which we take in as we hear the word of the Lord? Are we listening to the word of the Lord in small measures? Well, if we listen to the word of the Lord in small measures, whether that be through reading of our own time or being in church, however it might be, but if we're simply not taking in the word of God in larger measures, but in small measures only, then the Lord says he'll take even that away from us. Take heed what ye hear. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. So if we spend much time in the Word and much time in prayer with the Lord, our relationship with him will be deep. He will bless us richly. But if we don't have time to read the Word because we're just so busy, we have so many things going on, then the blessings of the Lord just simply aren't going to be there. And our relationship with him isn't going to be deep. It isn't going to be strong. And so this is the teaching that Jesus has, the greatest teaching, the greatest teacher that there ever was. And we are implored, hear the word of the Lord. And he says, take heed what ye hear. He speaks forth another parable, and he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn of the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. This is the parable that he spoke to them. What is the kingdom of God like? What is the kingdom of God like? The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. And how it grows up, how it springs, he knoweth not how. We don't know how. How it is that when you put a seed in the ground and how it germinates and then how it springs forth and then continues to grow and the cellulose fibers and all those things happen and it just continues to grow and become fully mature and bring forth fruit. We don't know how these things happen. This is the word of God. This is the word of God working in us. And this is why we marvel at the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. We grow in our faith when we believe in what the words of, that are contained in this word. We grow in him. We grow up. And this is the kingdom of God. This is something that's far greater than that of ourselves. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And yet we are a part of God's kingdom altogether likewise. So it is not only within us, but we are a part of his kingdom, each doing our part in this kingdom that glorifies him, that magnifies his name, that brings forth fruit, that glorifies him and gives him the honor and glory that is due unto his name. Many other teachers have taught things, and the scribes and the Pharisees had taught things as well. And they taught some things that perhaps had some value, but it wasn't life-changing as it was when Jesus brought forth the message of God to the people. It says that they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. His teaching had power. His teaching was life-giving. The teaching of the Pharisees was that they should wash their hands before they eat. That's great hygiene, but it doesn't change our hearts. It doesn't draw us to God. It doesn't magnify his name. And so the message of the truth of, that Jesus brought of the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is like is wonderful, and it's great, and it's bigger than us individually, and it's bigger than us even together. It's about his work. It's about the things that he does. We're a part of something great. We don't know how all these things happen. We don't know how it is that we grow up in him. We don't know how it is that when the fruit comes, that he immediately then puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. But that's his working. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes, the things that God does and his work. In the epistles also, it's written that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not so petty that it would be about what we eat or what we drink. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. But it's about God's righteousness. His righteousness, as God defines it. And it's about peace, having peace in our hearts, not being disturbed by the events of life or by other teachings, and having joy in him. And this all happens in the Holy Ghost. And then he speaks forth here this last parable. He says unto them, wherefore shall we liken the kingdom of God? Again, he's going back to this kingdom of God. Something that's so great, and he's teaching it to the people there, all the people there. And in the end, he expounds on this to his disciples. And he says, with what comparison shall we compare it? Again, that a parable being that. He says, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up. Again, as that last parable, it grows up. It grows up. And it become greater than all herbs, shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. This is the Lord's doing. And what the Lord does is marvelous. We as his creation, we who can just see just simply a snippet of the vastness and his omnipotence, the things that God does, we just see a small snippet of it, and we marvel. And we don't know how God works in the bigger picture of all things. So my mind goes to a thought in this teaching of the mustard seed. Though we have a mustard seed of faith that just has a very small beginning, the beginning isn't what matters. The beginning point isn't what matters, but it's the growth. It's the growth. And what God can do to us as we hear the word of the Lord and yield ourselves to the light of Jesus Christ and allow ourselves to walk in his light. God does then great things, and he allows us to grow up in him. So if the case is for us that we weren't raised in church, we didn't go through Sunday school, we're not familiar with the Bible as perhaps other people are, and we may think, well, my faith is so small, my understanding is so small. Jesus here is teaching, though you have faith as but a grain of mustard seed, that's something that's the least of all the seeds, it can still grow into something great because God does that work. Because God does that work. So if you feel that you are at a disadvantage in your growth curve or where your beginning is, Know that with God, all things are possible. Know that with God, he can take that which has humble beginnings and make it to be great. Make it to be great. This is what our God does. This is the kingdom of God. This is his kingdom. It belongs to him. He is the head. And we glorify him as such. It says here at the end, the last two verses that we read, "And with many such parables spake he the word of the Lord unto them as they were able to hear it." So John Mark here didn't record all the parables that were said, that Jesus said here at this time. He only recorded four of them. And the trademark of John here, or of Mark here, is that he's brief. He's brief in what he writes. And so perhaps these few couple verses that teach a parable, there was more said than what is recorded here, yet it's sufficient. Yet it's sufficient for us to hear the word of the Lord and to be to understand it and then live thereby. So he spake many such parables unto them as they were able to hear it. You know, God gives unto us the grace and strength that is needed for the experience that we are going through at that time. God is faithful. We read that this morning. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will provide for us all things that we have need. And so he speaks to them as they were able to hear it. As they were able to hear. Jesus in another place said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." There was a time when the disciples just simply couldn't take in all the teachings of Jesus Christ. But we have his word, and we have the opportunity to be partakers of his word. And we have that prayer in our hearts that, "Do thou this day provide us with daily bread, O Lord. By thy dear word, O guide us." And so may it be that all the times that we open God's word, that would be the prayer upon our hearts. Feed us with this manna. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I pray thee, Lord, help me to live by this message that I'm about ready to hear. And so as we are able to hear the word of God, as we are able to understand these parables that he had taught and spoken, that we would have the grace to live thereby and magnify his name. It says, "But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things unto his disciples." His disciples had hearts that were yearning for the truth. Just as it was when Jesus had gone to the house of Mary and Martha, and Martha was cumbered about with serving, but Mary sat at his feet to listen, to hear the word of the Lord. She sat to hear the word of the Lord. The disciples wanted to hear the word of the Lord. They asked, "What does that mean?" when he spoke to them those parables. And they were hungering and thirsting for more, and they were asking that their faith would be increased. And Jesus knew their hearts. So likewise for us. Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows when we're hungering and thirsting for his word. Then when we hear the message, "Hear the word of the Lord," that we would readily and quickly say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That we would be one of his. And then when we hunger and thirst after that word, he fills us. He fills us with that spiritual manna. He fills us with that spiritual drink. And we are satisfied. It gives unto us all things that our spirit, our soul yearns for and longs for and can be filled by, because because it's his word. And it's his word that that alone can do that for us. It's important that we place great value on the word of the Lord. It is what saves us. It is how we can grow in our faith. And God does that in our hearts and in our lives. And he blesses us with that growth. And we can draw near unto him And we can have that communion with him. And as we take in his word often, even throughout the day, often, that the Lord will bless us. He will give unto us. He that hath, shall it, to him shall be given. And the Lord will give unto us great blessings in our lives as we yield to him. May all praise and honor and glory be unto his name. Amen. Amen.
Dear ones, we heard today that we're asked to be a light. Light is going to have purpose that will be shining to those around us, to all around us, to everything around us. Light that we can only obtain in receiving Jesus Christ into our lives. There will be a day recorded in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible where the light is no more going to be needed. That God is going to be the light. He's going to shine with his face, I believe. Revelation chapter 22, a few verses beginning at verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Blessed are those that hear the God's word, but not only hear, but keep it. We have heard God's word this morning and this afternoon. We hear it and we are blessed by it a few times a week. We are fed from God's word when we read it at home. And it's not enough to know it. It's not enough to be versed in Bible. But we need to be able, with God's help, to keep it. In John chapter 14, Jesus mentions in few places, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love me, you keep my commandments. We all claim we love the Lord. We all want to be part of that kingdom of God. The day that we read of, that's not only the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God begins on this earth. Luke chapter 17, 20 and 21, and says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Kingdom of God is within us. It starts here. We have many stories, many parables. What is kingdom of God like? It's like that seed that grows in a fertile ground that needs to be planted on time. We heard about what it meant for Israelites to be collecting their heavenly manna on time in the morning. If I learned something from farming, there's a lot of timing that is important in farming. There is a small window of time where we plant. There is a small window of time that we harvest. And if we are late or too early for each and each and any of those, we might not have a full harvest, or we don't have, or we will not have anything to harvest. So we do need to work. We're here to work in that vineyard. We are here to give our best for the Lord, Jesus Christ. We're not here, dear ones, to just get baptized and relax. That's the worst that can happen to us. The Lord is expecting from us fruits from our work, fruits from our faith, from our love. May He bless each and every one of us, that we, by His grace and by His mercy, we can be fruitful in our work here on this earth. May the Lord bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.